Blog Talk Radio.
And be able to move forward even in the midst of adversity. For you, for with every great adversity is an equal or greater reward. And Father God, we just thank you. So I'm going to push through. Again, I want to welcome you. You may not be in the studio on tonight. We're having technical difficulties, which is not allowing anyone to come into the studio. I was advised that people who are online can hear this show. So if you want to go online to listen in, then that, you know, that would be great. If not, for though I will be sending out a I will be sending out a link after the show if it takes. I'm not sure how severe this technical difficulties are, but I will be sending out a link that will allow you to listen to this recorded message. I believe that this is going to be an important message, and I believe that's going to be an important message, and I believe that's why I'm having so much warfare to move forward in this. So I'm going to go ahead and move forward and continue on. And so let's just get into the word. Let's see what the Lord is wanting to share with us on tonight. We're going to go to the word, and I am going to let's all go over to where this is setting the foundation of where I believe that we're going to be going on tonight. James chapter 4, verses 4 through 15. Now, I want to share something for those who may be able to catch this. I started the show, had some adversity, technical difficulty. Signed out and signed back in to the, came back into the studio. I'm still having the same difficulty. But tonight's show, I believe, is not going to be a comfortable show for many, and I do not believe the enemy wanted this show to go forward because some people would get delivered. Some people would have to make choices, and some people would have to pick a side, and he didn't want you to hear this on tonight. But by the grace of God, I'm going to go forward tonight. My prayers is that this is being recorded, and I will get a link out for you to listen at another time for those who have not, not been able to come into the studio, and some may not want to sign into the website to listen, and I'm not even sure if that's really clear. But I want to move forward. This message on tonight, like I said, it's a hard message. I contemplated with bringing forth the message. But I believe it's important to bring it forth because for the last 30 to 50 years, we as the church, we have been getting watered-down versions of the Word of God. We've been getting encouraged and inspired. You know, we've been getting encouraged and inspired. We got a lot of coaches. I'm Coach D. I get it, but I'm going to call it like it is. We got a lot of life coaches, and we got a lot of coaches, and, you know, people have gotten away from, you know, just bringing forth the word in its entirety, not just the blessing, but speaking about holiness and sanctification and purification, you know, making people prepare for spiritual warfare. There's not that anymore. You know, now we go to church and they got cute programs and cute entertainment, and we've gotten accustomed to that. We've gotten accustomed to the cute entertainment. We've gotten accustomed to the cute program. You know, the pastor's anniversary and the church anniversary and this anniversary and that anniversary and this person's birthday and that person's birthday and all these celebrations that we're doing, but we're not preparing the saints for spiritual warfare. We're not preparing them for holiness. We're not preparing them for sanctification. And thus, we're pretty much setting, paving the pathway to hell. I'm just going to say it. This is not You know, this famous thing, or who are you to judge? I'm not judging tonight. I'm just going to bring the word of God. I'm going to bring the word of God. I pray that the word of God in itself will deliver the message that God wants, not just for you, for me. It came to me first. And God is saying, He did not call us to be indistinguishable. He did not call us to be indistinguishable. Thus the message tonight, indistinguishable. And we're going to get into that. But let me just lay the foundation through the word of God. James chapter 4, verse 4 through 15. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lust to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge of God. Let's move over to 2 Corinthians real quick, chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Father, we thank you for the word on tonight. Despite the adversity, Father God, we know that with every great adversity is an equal or greater reward. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to bring forth on tonight. We thank you for the rhema word. You are invited in the studio on tonight, Lord. Have your way as only you can. Father God, I pray that your word will be clear and concise. Father God, that your Holy Spirit will illuminate your word, Lord, that we will be able to understand what the word is saying to us on tonight, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Woo! This has been not without adversity, and I'm excited to bring the word. I'm going to push. I want to say I'm just going to wait till next week when this technical difficulty gets over, but no. Glory to God, I'm going to move forward. There's a reason why the enemy does not want us to hear this message on tonight. There is a reason why. And so how can he stop it? But to bring warfare. Amen. And I'm not going to stop that warfare and fear. And God is getting us to a point in these last days that we're going to have to toughen up. We're going to have to toughen up. We're going to have to stop being offended about everything. We're going to have to stop being afraid to hurt people's feelings. And I'm not saying just being rude. I'm not talking about being cruel and mean. I'm talking about in love, telling people the truth. And he needs this from us. We're his soldiers. And he needs us to be able to go out and teach and preach the unadulterated word of God. He wants us to tell it all. We can't just tell the blessings and not tell the cursing. We can't just speak about a glorious place. We can't just speak about heaven and not speak about hell, because we're getting too comfortable. We're getting too soft. We're getting too weak. And we're becoming indistinguishable. What do you mean, Coach D, about indistinguishable? Let's see what indistinguishable means. Let's understand that. Indistinguishable basically means you can't tell the difference between two things. What are the two things we're talking about on tonight? The two things we're talking about is the things of the world and the things of the kingdom. And we're becoming indistinguishable. You can't tell. Now, I want to go to something. I'm going to share something with you that was given to me, that was shared with me. I participate in the Tuesday morning Bible study. It's strictly just the Bible, you know. And I was in that Bible study on this Tuesday. Now, it just was a confirmation because God had already, you know, he had already challenged me to shut down 20 days, right? And I started that on Monday. But then when I was listening into the Bible study on Tuesday, a lot of times they'll do the Bible study, and then after the Bible study, there's a few of us that stay on and kind of share testimonies or experiences of different things. So what happened was is some of the ladies, this is, you know, it's a Bible study for anybody, but one of the ladies began to talk, and she was talking about, you know, she was talking about somebody she knew who, you know, was ordained and this and that, and they were to have a birthday party, and they invited her to the birthday party. I'm not calling names, so you guys don't know, but I'm telling you the gist. They invited her to the birthday party, but when they invited her, they told her, hey, I'm having a birthday party. Would you like to come? But, I mean, I hope you're okay because there will be, you know, there will be alcohol there and thus forth and so on and so on. And so she had begun to talk about how, you know, how she wouldn't go or because if he was her, you know, but it went on. And so I found myself, and I'm being honest, and she's probably listening in on tonight, but I got a little irritated because I thought, well, my goodness, that's kind of judgmental that she wouldn't want to go, somebody, you know, that you have a close relationship with, that you wouldn't want to go to their birthday because, I mean, you know, because they're having this or they're having that. And I thought, okay, you know, you don't have to participate in the drinking or whatever else is going on to be able to go to the party and acknowledge it. This is what I was thinking. So, you know, but afterwards, I pondered on that. I was pondering on that because I was, you know, I was just like, okay, Lord, you know, why was this irritating me? And so anyway, this is what the Lord told me. See, I could tell my stuff. But basically, I was in my quiet time, and he gave me the story. Now, I didn't hear this from anybody else. This was just me and Lord. This was vertical. And he said to me, a young lady was depressed and getting ready to commit suicide. In a dream, she was told to go to a local building, and there she would find a believer that would pray with her and help her get delivered from depression. In the dream, she was given the word of God that spoke of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23, that would be the identifier of who the person was. The next day, she went to the location and tried to identify the person. Needless to say, the following day, her family got word that she was dead. Moral of the story, if the church is bitter, angry, fornicating, doping, smoking, drinking, cussing, and cranking up, just like the world, how do you tell them apart? 2 Corinthians 6:17-18, which we're going to get into that. And when he told me that, I was so convicted. And I wasn't convicted that I got irritated. I'm glad I got irritated because it made me want an answer from God. It made me push towards God to find, you know, to get the answer or get confirmation that I needed. And so I was convicted. And I was convicted. Why? Because my life was gray. My own life, post-D's life, was gray. I had been living, not all my life, but we could get into rut during this walk. And if you've been walking this walk any length of time, you come into crossroads. You come to valleys and peaks. And I've been talking about the valleys and the peaks. And life is full of valleys and peaks. And so you come to these crossroads in life where if you're not careful, before you know it, they call it backsliding. You will backslide. You will go back to the familiarity of those things of the world that you left behind. And every time we go back to those things, God, you know, the word of God says that you could clean your house and you get out all the garbage, all the junk, all the demons. And then if you are not careful, if you are not watchful, if you're not protecting your heart, then what will happen is they come back seven times. So the thing that wasn't a big deal for you, let me give an example. You smoke cigarettes. If you smoke cigarettes and you got rid of that habit, because anything that's a habit is not good. I don't care what it is, if it's food, whatever. But let's say, you know, and this, for those who know me, many moons ago I used to smoke. I went back to cigarettes, but I just wanted to clarify that. But if you go back, let's just say you got delivered from cigarettes, and then something happens stressful in your life, and you're going through a series of stress and different things, and the next thing you know, you feel like you need a crutch, you need something, and you go back and pick up that cigarette. You're risking. Now, you're risking that demon coming back seven times stronger. What you mean, Coach D? So now, what you was once delivered from, you now then fell back into, and it might not be as easy to get delivered from that thing again. Sometimes people don't get delivered from that thing that they got delivered from and went back to, it says that you heard the, thank God I didn't get caught dead in my sin. Well, some people get caught dead in their sin, you know. And so you want to be careful. You want to be careful that you don't allow yourself to get caught back up into the things of this world. And before you know it, you're hanging out where you used to hang out. You're doing what you used to do. Now, you still say you're a believer. And I'm not saying you're not a believer. So people that say, oh, you're not a believer. No. But the devil's a believer too. But, you know, what you'll do is you'll get caught up. And before you know it, you're caught up and you're doing the same thing you used to do. And the thing about that is God's grace is sufficient, right? And we heard about the prodigal son, and we heard that he's married to the backslider, and all these things. And a lot of people are banking on that stuff. But there's a whole lot of people that didn't get an opportunity to come back and make a right. There's a whole lot of people that didn't get an opportunity to come back and repent and get it right, right? So we want to make sure that we don't put ourselves, we don't want to live a lifestyle of sin. You know, we're going to all sin and fall short of the glory of God because why? We're in a fallen world and we're in a fallen body, this flesh. And so we're going to sin, but it should not be a lifestyle of sin. We should not get comfortable with the things of the world. And that's what tonight's message is about. God has given us, in love, he's given us a warning. Why is he giving us a warning? I'm not delivering a judgment. I'm not delivering but I'm delivering the warning that God has given to me and he's given to anyone else who would listen, is that you want to be careful. You want to make sure that you are separate, that you are distinguished, that you're not indistinguished. Indistinguished means there's no difference. We can't tell the difference. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing it in the church. We're seeing it all around, that you can walk into an environment, and if it's not a church per se, you wouldn't know if a person is a Christian or not. Now, again, I'm not judging because it came to me first. What are you giving your attention to? What are the things? Will somebody know that you're a believer? Will somebody know that you love God? You know, will somebody know, or they only know on Sunday? You know, when you're at church and you're praising them and you're clapping and woo, you know what I'm saying? Will people really know that? And it's not just by what we say, people, because a lot of times we don't have the opportunity to speak to people. So only thing people can do is watch our behavior. And if we're not behaving in a way that exemplifies Christ, they won't know. They won't know. And let me tell you, we are in, whether you want to believe it or not, we are in the last day. We are in spiritual warfare. And it's only two teams. There is only two teams. There's not no in between. There's two teams. You're either on the team of light or you're on the team of darkness. And my thing would be, I want to be on the team of light. And I want to love as many people as I can love. I want to pray for as many people as I can pray, and I want to lead as many people as I can lead to the team of life. Because right now we're in a warfare, and it's like choose a team. You got to choose which team you're on. You know, at the Super Bowl, you could be team Kansas City and also team 49ers. You had to choose a team. You couldn't be on both teams. And that's what God is saying. Choose ye this day who you will serve, because you can't serve him and mammon. You can't be about the kingdom and be about the world. And this is what he's saying. He's saying there is no gray. It's black and white. It's black and white. And we're in the last days. And how you know you're in the last days is because, you know, when they talk about the persecution of the church, that's what we can really start seeing. Because the more you speak the gospel, the more you speak the truth, the more you speak the word of God, the more the enemy's going to come up against you. And I'm talking about you're going to get harshly attacked. Because the whole goal of the world is they want to have a form of godliness, but denying the power within. So you're going to have people that's sitting up in church. You're going to have people that say that they are believers, but in reality, they want to do what they want to do when they get ready to do it and how they want to do it. And God is not that God. He is not the God that you can just do what you want to do. And he's calling us to holiness. He's calling us to sanctification. He's saying enough is enough. And it's almost like the story. It's not almost like it is the story. When he talks about the bridesmaids, you know, the lamps, you know, and it was 10 of them. And they were all waiting for the groom, the bridegroom to come. And 5 of them was diligent. 5 of them had chosen the side they want to be on. 5 of them was prepared. They had prepared themselves. They had their lamps ready to go so that when he comes, they would be able to go. The other 5 was turning up. They was turning up. They was doing their thing. It's their thing. Do what you want to do. And they were doing what they wanted to do. And when he came, because now they heard that he was coming, now they had to go and prepare. And while they were out looking for their oil, and I'm paraphrasing, while they was out looking for their oil, while they were preparing, while they were saying, oh, Lord, let me get it together, you know, while they were out partying and doing whatever, while they were doing they missed it. He had came, closed the door, and when they came and said, hey, we're back, it was too late. Is it going to be too late for us? Is it going to be too late for us to say now, oh, Lord, I repent. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, please don't turn me over to a reprobate mind. Oh, Lord, don't take your presence from me. Is it going to be too late? That's the chance we take when we delay. That's the chance we take when we want to do what we want to do, when we can't master our flesh. And this is a hard message. And nobody want to preach this because it's not a favorable message. You're going to get a lot of rebuttal. You're going to get a lot of rejection when you start preaching the word of God. You're going to get that because people don't want to hear that. People don't want to be told the truth. People don't want to get it right. You know, people don't want to walk in the statues of God, you know, because it's so much funner to do this other thing. But we're not talking about judgment. We're not talking about pointing the fingers. We're talking about a spiritual warfare. We're talking about the difference between eternal life and eternal damnation. That's what we're talking about right here. We don't have time to sugarcoat no more. We don't have time to water down no more. We don't have time to not teach the word of God. We don't have time to not give people the opportunity to know if you continue this, if you continue in this direction, if you continue to do this thing, guess what? The doors of opportunity may be closing. In one of the scriptures that I was reading, you know, and I want to be clear because in 2 Corinthians, just read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read 17 through 18. I'm going to go down to 18, and it says, I'm going to just say the whole thing. It was talking about telling us we need to come out from among them. It says, separate ourselves, said the Lord. Touch not the unclean things. And he said he will receive us, you know, receive us. He said he will be a father to us, and we should be his sons and daughters. But then up here in Luke, let me get to Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter, the same chapter that we read from 4, but I want to go to verse 11. And I want to go to verse 10. And the reason I want to go to verse 10, because I don't want people to take this out of context, and they will. So I want to go here and I want to break it down, because in verse 10, James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Now, I'm going to stop right there. And the word that I'm focusing on is brother, because we hear this often. We hear people say, oh, you can't judge me and don't judge me, you know, but the church is going to judge the world. And so when we talk about brother, what does that really mean when we're talking about brother? When he says, don't speak evil of your brother. Well, we should not be speaking evil, but when it says don't speak evil, you have to know that everybody is not your brother or sister. We have to understand that first and foremost, is that everybody was created by God, but everybody is not a child of God. There's a difference. There is a difference. Everything you see on this earth, good and bad, you know, God created this earth. He created everything in this earth. But due to sin and the fallen state of it, everybody is not a child of God. You know, and we got to come to that conclusion. Everybody is not our brother and sister. In Matthew 12, verses 48 and 50, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, he replied to them, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Point to his disciples. He said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever knows just them that don't go to church, whoever them that go, it says here, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So he's very clear. And I could go straight up to school. He's very clear about that. So we got to understand that as believers, as followers, I want to say followers of Jesus Christ, we have to, you know, we have to know that he's saying that my children, they know my voice. My sheep, they know my voice, and another they won't follow. So that's an identifier that I'm a child of God. Why am I a child of God? Because I am doing the will. I want to do the will of the Father. I want to hear the voice of God, and I want to follow what the voice of God is telling me to do. And that doesn't say, again, it's never speaking to perfection. This thing is never speaking to perfection. It's speaking to obedience. Are we doing what God told us to do? Are we in communion? Are we in relationship with? Are we in a relationship with the Father? Through the Son? Are we in relationship? Are we listening? Are we hearken diligently? Are we obeying what he's saying? Or have we been so consumed with the things of this world, with our flesh, what our flesh wants, what my flesh wants? My flesh desires this. My flesh wants this. My flesh want to be. My flesh want to do. Are we being governed by our flesh that is causing us to be indistinguishable? And I hear my spirit, because you hear this. Well, I don't understand that. You know, Jesus hung with the sinners. Jesus was around the prostitutes and the drunkards. you know, Jesus. But the difference is this, is that Jesus changed the environment. The environment did not change Jesus. He became a light in the dark place. And many of us just become darkness upon darkness. We're not allowing the light of Jesus to shine in us. And so when we go into environments, it's impossible for us to change those environments. And what happens is we end up just becoming indistinguishable. And if nobody could tell what team you're on, if you ain't, if you're not wearing the jersey, just because you say you're a 49er fan, just because you say you're rocking with the Rams, just because you say you're committed to the whatever team. The thing is about it that if you're in the middle of game, it's game time. It's game time. And if you're in the middle of game time, the only way somebody gonna know that you this team's player is by your jersey. What is our jersey, Coach D? Our jersey is the fruits of the Spirit. Our jersey is our action. Are we kind? Are we got meekness? Are we loving? You know, or are we walking around cussing and fussing and doing whatever we want to do that nobody can tell what team we? Well, it does tell you, because when people see, then they looking at you, and based on your jersey, what you doing, it's telling them, it ain't telling them that you're on the team of light. It said, oh, okay, this person's on the team of darkness, and other darkness is going to gravitate toward that person, because we always want to be, you know, that's just human nature. We want to be in familiar environment. We want to be with like-minded people. I don't care where you go. Think about it. When you go to church, guess what happens? They call them cliques. When you go to church, everybody's going to gravitate towards commonality, what we got in common. When you're in school, that's how you meet your friends, your classmates. You begin to gravitate towards the ones who have something in common with you. No different in the world. When you're in the world, you're going to gravitate to the things that the world do. If the world thinks going to Beyonce's concert is an amazing thing, then guess what? That's where everybody's going. To Beyonce's concert. If the world say, tattoo up your whole face, your arm, your legs, and everything else, guess what? People gonna gravitate to that. What everybody else is doing it. I don't understand why you're speaking against this, or why you're speaking against that, or why you're doing this. Because I mean, you got pastors. You got pastors that's doing it. So the pastors is doing it, must be okay. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because, and it's an old saying, this is not biblical, but it's like, you know, my mom used to tell me, because I want to be, you know, my friend, she got her hair dyed, or she got this. My mom said no. And she said, just because such and such going to jump off the cliff, you're going to jump off the cliff too. And that's what we're doing. We're seeing a bunch of Christians jumping off the cliff because they think it's okay. You think it's okay to walk into the house of God and play some pumped up music, and you dancing and twerking and gyrating and twisting? Is that okay? Is that pleasing in the sight of God? Is that showing reverence? No. But because it's the common thing that's being done now, people want to make it okay. And guess what? It ain't okay. It's not okay. Well, we gotta attract the youth. We gotta attract the youth. So what we gonna do so that they'll, you know, that we could attract the youth? You know, it's easier to attract with sugar than it is. But guess what? The word of God attracts. The unadulterated word of God attracts. We got to know that there's consequences to our actions. And if nobody's teaching you consequences, then you're going to keep with the action. And if you keep with the action, that action could kill you. In fact, like our kids. You're not going to let your kids drink bleach. We're not going to let our kids drink bleach. Why? Because we know the bleach will kill them. So what we have to let them know, you know, when you little kids, you tell them, pop them on the head, you say, don't do that. That's going to burn you. It's going to hurt. That's going to hurt you. Don't do that. That's what we need to be told. We need to love people enough. Because many times, I think sometimes it's just an individual thing. Everybody individually is so busy trying to make it to heaven that they ain't worried about everybody else. But we got to love people enough to tell them the truth. And we haven't been doing that. Now, I'm saying we, you guys probably have, supposed to be having. And it's not that I love people, but sometimes you just be like, okay, that's they, you know, I'm going to just pray for them. You know, that's their thing, and I don't want them to, you know, think that I don't love them. So I just accept them. I'm just going to accept them in love. I got to love you enough to tell you what the Word of God is. Now, if you ain't following the Word of God, then guess what? It don't apply to you, and you just keep on doing what you're doing. But if you say you're a believer, and you say you're a believer in God and Jesus Christ is his son, then you got to believe the Word of God. And I don't care how much you speak about it being mistranslated, books is missing and all that. That's not an excuse. Let me tell you why. Because God, Elohim, knew that men are faulty. He knew that man, he knew human error. And so he knew when they translated his scripture, they were going to mess up. He knew that they were going to not put the right word, translate over the right word. He knew that they were going to miss books. He knew all that ahead of time. Why? Because he's Elohim. He knew that. So that's why he had to come here in the second covenant in the form of the word, the living word, Jesus. He had to come, and he had to make some adjustment. First of all, the adjustment that we ain't got to, we don't need no ram, you know, in certain methods. I'm reading through Leviticus now, and it had all these methods of how you have to cut the animal's head and how you need to do this, and then you got to take out this organ and that organ, and you got to burn them separately, and you got to take them outside of the cage. Woo! A lot of stuff. So then he made it even easier on us. He said, okay, I got all this stuff going on, and rules and regulations is a lot to remember, but you guys can't do it. Y'all can't do it. So I'm okay. So let me come in with a second plan. Not forgetting the first plan, but coming in. Let me. I'm not gonna change nothing, but let me just see if I can make things a little bit easier. So he said, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna be the sacrifice. I'm gonna be the atonement for your sin, so that you don't have to keep doing this. That you don't have to keep, you know, with the animal sacrifices. So Jesus came for that sacrifice for us. He came to be that ultimate sacrifice for us. And so, the quietness. Ooh, just think, you know, thinking about that. We know that's what he did, but just to really think about that he loved us so much that in his first covenant with us, I mean, we still weren't getting it right, but he loved us so much that he creates the second covenant. And if I'm saying first and second covenant, you guys are probably wondering, what is she talking about? Well, the world knows that the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know. And so now he comes with the second covenant, and he sends Jesus. And he's telling us, going back to where I was, when I was talking about this, he knew that it was going to be mistranslated. But he sends the second covenant. And when he dies for us, the ultimate death for our sin, he comes back and leaves with us his precious Holy Spirit. Now, unlike Moses, unlike Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, where they walked with God. Unlike the disciples at initially who walked with God, they was walking with Jesus. He now lives inside of us. When you become a born-again believer, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is living inside of us. And he is there to comfort. He is there to correct. He is there to guide. He is there to lead us. He is there to be an illuminating light to our pathway. He is there to help us get through this thing called life. And there's nothing worse than having an empty house. What you mean, Coach D? Because walking around saying you're a believer and not accepting and receiving the Holy Spirit is like walking around in an empty house. And guess what? Empty houses got squatters. They will come and squat, and they will take residence. They will take residence. And guess what? You can't bear to get them out. So whoever the actual owner of the house is that may not be living in the house because it's empty, it's hard to get them out. You've seen empty houses. Ooh, Jesus, you've seen empty houses. You know, most of them are drug infested. You got people living in there. They sleeping on the floor. They shooting up drugs. They doing whatever they doing in the empty house. They done squatted in the house, and it's almost impossible to get them up out the house. Same thing, no different. We're a temple, and when we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to operate inside of us, then guess what? We're like an empty house, and the enemy's gonna come with his imps. And they're gonna take residence. They're gonna take residence in you. They're gonna run amok. They're gonna make you think they're your friend. Oh, you know, everybody doing it. Come on, let's just do it. And you thinking the enemy is your friend because he's subtle. You don't even know it's the enemy. But you thinking it's your friend, and the next thing you know, you done got caught up. And once you done got caught up and you broke it down and you defeated, now he's showing you. You weren't my friend. What you thought this was going to be about? You thought this was going to be roses? We have to not be indistinguishable. We have to be distinguished. We have to be the salt of the earth. We have to separate ourselves from things of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Another thing is that being in the world, and I wanted to, you know, because what does this really mean? A friend of the world is someone more concerned with following the standards and the ways of the world rather than God. Jesus, we read Matthew 10, and said that, and Jesus said in Matthew 10 that if you follow him, then you will be hated by all for his name's sake. This is because Jesus asked us to do things that go directly against the values of the world. Jesus asked us to be integral. That goes against the, Jesus, that goes against the world. Because the world is telling you whatever you could get away with doing while nobody's watching, do it. Whatever little scam, whatever little thing you could do, it's just get rich quick. Whatever you could do, nobody's watching, do it. You could walk in the store. If you could walk out with some stuff and not pay for it, you just got over. Because that's the world standard. The world says, you know, cheat on this and cheat on that and do this and do that. The world standards say, why not? Why not test drive? You know, if I'm gonna marry you, why can't I test drive what I'm buying? But God says no. God says that that's a sin. Fornication is a sin. God says if you marry, then be married. The world say, hey, You married? Yeah. But she cute or he cute. It don't hurt. Just go to dinner with him. And next thing you know, dinner then turns into a whole full relationship. But the world has their standards. And God has said, these are not my standards. So if you're more concerned about who's going to be in a political office, if you're more concerned about who dropped Kiku, if you're more concerned about when the next Beyonce concert is coming up, if you don't see the demonic activity in these things, if you're not willing to say, I see what's going on and I need to stand in prayer. I need to stand in prayer because I see what's going on. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be a part of this. God, I'm trusting you. And allow God to lead you. And sometimes God will lead you into decisions you might not understand, but you got to know it's God. And God will always confirm through his word and through other people. By the Spirit. Because it doesn't always, when God tells us to do stuff, sometimes it don't look normal. Because the world will say, you better not get up and move out of state. Who's you know out of state? But God had already told you to go. He told Abraham with his nephew, you know. First he told him to leave his family and everybody and go. And then when he brought his nephew with him, it came a point in time where there was contention, and God told him, separate. But that's not normal because a lot of times we're thinking, hey, this is my family. You know, this is my family. I love my family. I'm thinking, I love my family. I want to be around my family. You know, my family got my back. I got my family back. I want to be around my family. But then Jesus says, those who do the will of the Father is my family. Those are really my family. Ooh, that's a hard deal, right? I remember moving to Texas when I made a decision to move to Texas. I had dealt with this for 3 years, going back and forth because I knew I had a pull on my heart to come to Texas. But at the time, I was very engaged with family. My life, my everything was engaged with my family, you know. And I felt like I can't just run out on my family. I can't just skip on my family. I felt like I wasn't where I was supposed to be at the time. And I knew that God was pushing me toward. And, you know, and part of it is I got family in Texas, too. But I didn't want to just move to Texas because I have family. I prayed. I basically was asking, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And I believe you told me yes. And I came to Texas. You know, and sometimes I wonder if I really heard the Lord because since I've been here, it's been valleys and peaks. But at the end of all, God will get the glory. And God is telling us, separate ourselves. Come out from among them. We got to do a better job at representing the team that we're on. He's telling us to put on the jerseys of light. You know, he already told us about the armor of God. He's telling us to put on our armor. That's how people know who we belong to. That's how people know who we belong to. That's our jersey. The fruits of the Spirit, that's part of our jersey. The armor of God, that's part of our jersey. And that's how people know who we belong to. They know which team we're on. And then people will never have to wonder who you are. Because why? You're set apart. You're a peculiar people. People don't have to ask, are you a Christian? They should not have to ask, are you a Christian? Because your actions, your jersey, your armor says, this is what I am and this is who I belong to. Father God, we just thank you for the message on tonight. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is so gentle with us, that you love us so much, Father God, that it is not your desire that no one to perish, Father, but that we all have an opportunity at everlasting life. So, Father God, I just say thank you for the truth. I pray, Father God, that you are bringing up men and women and boy and girl in these last days, Father God, that is willing the truth according to your word, Lord. Father God, give them a spirit of boldness that they will go into the crevices, Father God, and teach and preach the good news, because that's what our purpose here is for, is teaching the good news, telling people about Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, that he is our Lord and our Savior. So, Father, we just say thank you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those that can tune in tonight, I'll know in 15 minutes if this actually recorded. And if this message did record, you will be having access to it where you can listen in at another time. For those who are on Wi-Fi, if you are listening in, hopefully you got a chance to enjoy the message. But I don't know that you were able to. So, again, in about 15 minutes, I will make sure to get this. If it recorded, I will make sure to get this out to every single one throughout the email blast and throughout the post in various places. I will make sure that that is there. Know that you are all loved and greatly appreciated. And we'll talk to you soon. See you next Thursday. Good night.